Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
the Cosmic Voice again. That was The Who, and We Won't Get Fooled Again. I've cut it short a bit, but we're going to be short for time this evening. We're going to have another guest on this evening. I'll let Drake and Kirk introduce him. But it's kind of a follow-on from last week, and some developments that has been going on all day. And it's kind of been testing. Drake.
Yes, I'll be here. just for the record, okay. We've been having, as everybody knows, problems of all kinds. Everybody noticed the weather. If you didn't, you're hibernating somewhere. You got governmental problems. I got a pen and a telephone, and I'm going to do it to you. Let's see here. And very few people seem to want to stand up. They're waiting on the big kahuna's foot to fall with the big shoe on it and go thump, and they go, oh, now we go. Well, anyway, from last week's show, I had some questions, and when I asked them, there's a lot of hemming and hawing by thunder, and I didn't really appreciate that a whole lot. If the man knows his stuff the way he does, he would have been able to give me at least some small insights that would have fit into the sciences he's dealing with, and yes, I am familiar with the advanced technologies involved. So, I question thunder's reality, the seeming high prices and all that. The interesting part about this is everybody's heard about the suppressed advanced technologies, secrets being held or kept in abeyance so that we could not be the people we were supposed to be on this planet. You saw the weather. I mean, you know, you're not going to tell me that was an accident. Once, I understand it. Three times, no way. And nobody will give the idea of the capability to control the weather to some extent any credibility. Well, guess what? That just went down the tubes. Anybody who's been outside and got frigid knows this. So, my guest quit Thunder and represents technologies and other things that, in my opinion, supersede what Thunder was offering. I don't like some of the things that I found out privately, which I won't go into here on the show, but they ain't good. And so I would negate Thunder. In my personal opinion, I don't think the boy measures up. So in the meantime, a new technical voice by the name of Jeff Harvey, technologist, ex-military, from the introduction I got, all-around good guy, basically, does the right thing to see what can be done in a manner that is conducive to our betterment as a whole. And with that, I'll let the man get introduced.
Right. I'm going to bring Kirk in, and he can give him a brief rundown. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, Thomas. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thanks for your help today and this week. And I'm going to bring Jeff in now. And if you want to give it a brief run-in, and then we'll have Jeff on.
Well, I've only briefly known the gentleman, but get an extremely good resonance from the man. And with his experience and what he's been involved with, it just feels like the key time to bring him in and just hear some truth and get that out there and really see where all the beautiful areas this technology can take us. And like you mentioned with what he mentioned earlier to me today about having military involvement with remote viewing, goodness gracious, that's a subject all within itself. So,
yes.
And just knowing that the man has his heart with bringing certain, you know, people and powers that must be in the past down and gaining our freedom, I think he can be key with this. So I'm honored to introduce Jeff Harvey.
Hi, Jeff.
Gentlemen, how are you tonight?
We're cool. Right.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you. Before we ask you to give all of us a sort of brief resume of who and what you are, I'd just like to give a message to our listeners. The technology, as described last week, does work. So we're not stating at this point that it's all bogus. The technology does work. It was slightly exaggerated, and it had a the longevity of it was 1 year. People who've received or attempted to buy, they will work. And on that note, I'm going to hand you over to Jeff.
All right. Well, you've got it correct. The technology has been misrepresented many times over the years by various people who, well, they're trying to make a buck and eat, but they're also not putting their head and their heart in the right spot, evidently. I won't go into the particulars, as you won't either, but when I started looking into this technology several years ago, first of all, my background was basically I grew up in a very small town in northeastern Pennsylvania, population 500 and some odd people, not exactly a thriving metropolis. I learned several techniques of hermetic exercises from my dad, which sprung open some areas of the brain that were helping me be able to do things that I wouldn't normally do as a child. And as I developed these tools and techniques over the course of my years in school, by the time I got to high school, I realized I was going to be an operative. And I won't explain how I knew that, but I made sure in my high school yearbook photo wasn't there in the book and that I would be ready to be assigned for different jobs. I went into the U.S. Navy, got into boot camp, did some things that demonstrated I had a total lack of respect for authority, which got me inducted into a watcher group that basically was counterintelligence. They were watching what the New World Order crowd and the Jesuits were doing to the military and the governments, and they weren't happy, and they needed people to step in and document and track things down. And, of course, I'm pretty patriotic when it comes to the people in my country, not the government. And I, of course, volunteered, and it's a lifelong commitment. And I took the oath, and it was in excess of the oath that I took for the military. I went into a school for interior communications, and then somehow some people took notice of me and offered me a C school, closed circuit television and audio. So I took that, and I was on the John F. Kennedy. And I worked in the intelligence center there on the USS John F. Kennedy down in Norfolk, Virginia. And my DD-214 is available for anybody who wants to see it. And my honorable discharge, obviously. So what happened was, as I went in there, and I found out just how deep the rabbit hole goes, I realized that there was good and bad people in the military. So you've got white hats and black hats, and it's just really it's really difficult sorting them out, because there's levels from the bottom all the way to the top. And the further up you go, the further up the scum rises. So basically, I did that for 6 years, and I left the military. I got into private life doing computer contracts for paper mills and things, and in 2003, I fell ill because of a depleted uranium accident that happened in the military and some gamma radiation that I was exposed to. So I had a couple of weeks left to live, and basically, I got a hold of a naturopath who used chelation and some other therapies to get me back to life. And it took about a year and a half to learn to walk again properly. And I got my voice back. And then I realized I needed to become a practitioner because I had a lot further to go. So I got into the field of the healing arts and became board certified in nutrition. And I practice homotoxicology. So basically what I do is I work on deep tissue wound protocols, chronic disease illness protocols, and leading technologies that can help the human body or organism get where it needs to go. So that's how I got here. And what happened was a couple of years ago, some of my clients kept asking me about radionics. So I said, all right, I'll tell you what, I'll look into it. And the further I looked into it, the more I realized I should have been in this 10 years ago. And I found out just how powerful it is, and I found out, you know, the military had weaponized it, obviously. And there's a lot going on out there with it, and a lot of false claims being made, and a lot of true claims being made. So there's a lot it can do, and there's a few things it can't. So what I'd like to do today, if it's possible, is set the record straight on what it can and can't do, and answer any questions you have.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Anything you want to hit first?
I got a question for you.
Shoot.
In terms of, I tried to ask Thunder a little bit about this, and I tried to put it into simplistic terms, dealing with the vortex technologies he stated he uses, and the thing that messed with me was that he refused to answer. And I was just curious as to the if you could, and this is a very simple thing, my understanding of it as far as it translates into our technology today is that it basically reformats energy and matter into a sending receiver sort of configuration. That it puts out a quote signal that aligns with the higher energies of a human being, whether their energies are low or not makes no difference, and allows the energies that they are using to live basically clean themselves up and be what they're supposed to be. Now, is that close enough?
Not even close. It's a vague way of putting it, and it addresses a couple of items, but let's go right down to the science, and let's talk about exactly what it does. First of all, what the SE5-1000 does, and this is the device that is being used that we're discussing, and I'm going to... I'm going to give you some information on a hypothetical basis first, so you can understand why I won't go into the details on it. But your answer, your question is going to be answered very specifically in a second. All right, so hypothetically, let's say you're a dishonest person, and you're looking to make a buck in this field, and you find someone who has a device like this. Maybe a woman with a child, she's been working in the information fields trying to figure these things out, and you decide you want her toy. So you threaten her and her child, and you basically get them to hand over their device, and you may even have to assault her to get that done. Those are the kind of things that happen out there, and I think you can get from my tone of voice what I think of that kind of individual. They're out there, they do these things, and no one in this industry will work with those people. No one of any repute, anyway. Now, the answer to your question is, first of all, there is a field of information that surrounds every cell in the human body and every organism on the planet and every particle, and I mean every. That field of information is basically a code set. And the code set talks to the cell and tells it how to act. And that's about as much physicality as involved. So when you're working with scalar waves and these devices on the human organism or anything else, a tree, a piece of wood, a rock, a hunk of metal, you can take an information field from one item and you can transfer it to another one. And this is something that's absolutely possible. If you're looking for proof and data of that, look into some of the research by the people who developed nuclear magnetic resonance machines. They were the ones who figured out that, or proved that there's a field that surrounds all the cells. They're a little late to the party because people working in radionics have known this for 60 years. People like Abrams and Galen Hieronymus and others who pioneered in the arts. So that's the baseline that you need to know of what's going on. Now let's talk about the how. So first of all, if everything has a code that is in that field of information, all right, why would we need to play with that? Well, we're going out in the public. We're walking through fields and soups of electromagnetic interference, toxins, all kinds of pathogens, bacteria, viral, infectious diseases. As they hit the human form, what happens is you get a physiological response. You physically get ill. Now, that's on one side. All right, well, we're working on the information field that surrounds the cells, so we're actually working on the etheric plane. So we're working on the subtle energy bodies that are around the body. And as we know, we all have an aura, or an electromagnetic field spectrum. Well, it's more than electromagnetic. There's several different kinds of energies that comprise your aura. But basically, it's a protection field for the human body. And so how strong it is or how weak it is has a lot to do with your vitality. And we can measure those things using these devices. And they're called subtle energy detectors. That's what the SE5 stands for. Subtle energy number 5, the fifth version of this technology. So the SE5-1000 is a device that measures that. And the way it's done is there's basically a stick pad on the device, just like any radionics machine does. You see an input well, an output well, and a stick pad. Now, there's a dial on it that allows you to tune into a field of information. And as you know, there is a field of information. Some people call it the Akashic Record, the Mind of God, whatever term you'd like to tag on it this week, that's fine. But it's still the same thing. It's a field of information, and it's very, very accurate. The human body, when you're trained in remote viewing, and I was trained by Major Ed Dames, who's a military remote viewer, basically we learned that our nervous system can act like an antenna. And when we do remote viewing, we use our mind to take the antenna of our nervous system and go out into the field of information and search for an answer to a question that we pose. And it basically, the mind will scoop it up like a big butterfly net, bring that stuff in through the nervous system, and while we have our pen and paper together, you get a little jerk of the response of your wrist, which causes a scribble on the paper, which is an ideomotor response. And in very fine detail, if you magnify that, it's actually a drawing of the entire scene of the answer. Very interesting how this works. And in radionics, it's almost identical what happens. We rub our fingers on the stick pad, whatever motion you'd like to use, circles, whatever, while we tune the knob, while we focus our intent on the field of information we're looking for. When we get a lock, what will happen is your fingers will actually stick to the stick pad because your nervous system caused a change in conductivity from your fingertips to the stick pad. So this is how it works, and you can't take a Joe Sixpack eating cheeseburgers and French fries and guzzling beer all day and night and expect he's going to operate one of these devices. Ain't going to work like that. You need a reasonably clean field. So you need to take care of yourself health-wise. So these devices are able to do that for analyzing things, but let's talk about what they do for the other side, which is sending out information. So if we wanted to send information to an individual anywhere on the planet, what we would take is a sample of their DNA or a digital photo that's taken in nice bright sunlight. And we would put that into the machine, and people would say, well, how can you use, you know, they understand that DNA carries information. So we could lock on to that wherever you are on the planet. We put a little blood inside a glassine envelope, slip it inside the input plate, and off you go. And you can actually send codes directly to that individual no matter where they are. So that's one thing that can be done. Now, number two, with the photo, you'd say, well, how does the photo work? Well, as light strikes your body, it goes inside your, well, it goes all the way into the DNA. And if you look at DNA, that double helix, that's actually a scalar wave antenna. And basically what happens is when it gets struck by light, it puts out biophotons or light. And so what happens is you generate photonic energy all day long. You're putting it off all the time. And so that goes into the camera, goes into that picture, it stores as data, and we can take that data and we can lock onto that no matter where you are as well. And we can put that into the system, and we could actually set up a program to send tunings or these codes to you and do it actively. And there's two ways to send codes, active and passive. Passive is where you take a hologram or maybe a chunk of crystal, and you use your SE5 with its output cable, which is a light pulsed cable, and you drive the codes into that hologram or into those crystals. And this is an overnight process. It takes many hours to load it up. Then you take that hologram, and you can paste it on your belt buckle, put it on an amulet and wear it, whatever you want to do. As long as it's within your auric field or the field that surrounds your body will absorb whatever codes are in there that it needs to balance itself. And your body will get those codes that it has corrupted as you walk through, you know, the world in the day and you get exposed to toxins and stressors. Those codes tend to get out of balance. And so what the hologram can do is to help you stay in balance longer. But that's a passive method of doing it. And all that can do is basically help you to stay balanced a little longer than you normally would if you've already been balanced using a scalar wave machine. Now, the machine itself, if you were to balance somebody with that, this is active because inside the machine is a generator, a scalar wave amplifier, and it takes the codes and it very robustly sends them out to your field, and it very robustly puts them into the field. So you get balanced much quicker and more thoroughly. So let's take two separate items. Let's say we were sending the field codes for the information for vitamin B. Now, that's something very positive for your body and your health. And we would send the information, not vitamin B, but the information for those field codes out to the body. Okay, that's one thing. And you'd want that at close to 100% of full balance, right? Because it's a positive thing. Now let's say you're dealing with something like cyanide. Well, that's not something that's very good for your body. You really don't want that. So you'd want that balanced down to zero. So we can also take negative things and balance those down to zero. And so by using an active balancing with the machine, we can actually get you there much quicker and much closer to the goal or the ideal number, whether it be 100 or zero. And then when you wear an amulet or a hologram with the information imprinted on it, it takes longer time for you to drift off of balance. And it happens no matter what to everyone, between 3 and 5 days after you've been balanced. Somewhere along that, 3, 5, 7 days, depending on how much stress you're involved in. You know, if you're somebody living on the top of a mountain, clean, fresh water, lots of fresh air, the odds of you coming out of balance are very, very low for at least a week. But you're in a city, you're going to be out in 3 to 5 days or start sliding out of balance. So what we do is we attempt to keep you balanced throughout the month. And I developed something called the Balance Guild, which we actually balance people several times during the month on the same program to keep them at that optimal level. And we do that a lot. That's mainly what we do for people to help them along. Now, that's how the technology works. And the way we get those codes to you is what you really want to know. So the answer is by using a scalar wave. And scalar waves are pretty simple. If you were to take an electromagnetic wave, let's say you've got two separate, let's call them field coils. And we use sacred geometry, let's say a five-pointed star, seven-pointed star, 12-pointed star, something that's a pattern that's exactly reproduced twice. So you have a positive version and a negative version right next to each other. So one of them you charge up with maybe a positive 3 volts and the other with a negative 3 volts. Well, in math class, we learned that if you add 3 to minus 3, you get 0, correct? Well, here's our problem. Maxwell's original equations prove that when you do that with a type of a signal, you get double the gravity. So we're making gravitational waves or longitudinal waves, not transverse waves. And they travel faster than the speed of light. Now, does that make sense?
As long as Drake's offline. Yes. Yeah, it does. Very interesting. Drake, comment, please.
So basically, you put the codes on that wave, and we send them to you, no matter where you are.
Yeah, wow. I fully understand what he's saying exactly. I apologize for the simpleton question and assumptions, but it sounds to me like my simpleton take is sort of kind of correct.
Not only that, but you asked at least 5 different questions. So it was a helpful question because you addressed several different things that needed to be discussed so that your audience can actually see the whole picture. And
exactly.
Because a lot of people, they say, well, everything is scalar energy. And that frankly isn't the truth.
You know, he asked 5 questions in one to me as well.
I got it.
It was intentionally loaded, and I apologize, but there it is.
Quite all right. You can hold me against the wall, and the bullets won't stick, so don't worry.
Oh, good. Cool. That'd be interesting. Go ahead with your explanation. I couldn't resist, you know.
All right, so that's how the technology works. Now, let's talk about what doesn't work, because there's a lot of information out there that this can do anything for anything to anything. And that's just not quite the truth. So let's talk about what it won't do. First of all, when you make a hologram, the length of time that you actually code that for, in other words, the number of seconds you apply to each one of the codes, because let's say we put together a program for vitality, which I have. I've got a really good vitality program. I passed it on to Jerry Avalos as well. I sold him his first machine because I distribute these, and he uses that. He's very gifted. So you have maybe 100, 200 codes, maybe 250, whatever, and you don't want too many codes in a hologram because the more codes you have, the less time it will be able to be programmed for and the less time it'll last. The longer you program each one of those codes for, the longer it will last. So let's say you've got a program and you're setting up the codes and you're putting them in there for 45 seconds for each code, and you're going to put a delay in there. Because remember, if you're programming something for something like matter, solid matter, like a hunk of wood or a piece of metal, and you're adjusting the field for that piece of metal, well, you're at that point not working on a biological life form. So you really don't need any delay for the biological life form's nervous system, so to speak, to catch up with the signals. But with a human being or a plant or an animal, they have a system within their body which you're trying to affect by working on those field codes, and it takes a little bit of time for assimilation. So you have to put a delay in there so that everything actually syncs up properly. So you have to know, first of all, what you're sending codes to be able to set up the timing. And the next thing you would do is how many cycles do you want to put it through? Do you want to cycle it once at 45 seconds for each code, or do you want to do 9 cycles? Well, you could be out two, three days of programming just to do one hologram, but it would last a very, very, very long time. Or you could program this hologram, and it could be non-functional in 2 to 3 weeks, which with some of the individuals that I've spoken about that are not reputable, they do this. They'll make these codes. They'll ship it out. It works initially, and then it's dead within a few weeks or a month, and you're looking around going, what the heck's going wrong here? What happened? And, you know, they say, well, you must have damaged it. We'll just sell you another one. We don't work like that. That's not the way to do things. So what can destroy a hologram? Number one, not coding it long enough or properly. Number two, having a pattern on the hologram that's not sufficiently complex enough to store all the data. That's another thing. And there are many different types of patterns you can use, but you need to know what you're doing. Number three, any X-rays will destroy the coding in a hologram. So if you wore that out in bright sunlight for a long period of time, you're pretty well done. You've wiped it slick. You go through a hospital and pass by an X-ray machine, it's wiped. You go through the Transportation Safety Agency's little machine, and you could damage your hologram. Those are all things that can damage it. The other thing is very high electromagnetic fields. So if you're somebody who works in a power plant over big generators all day, that's not such a good idea. Now, that's basically the main things you have to worry about when you're using one of these devices. You got to protect it. You have to use it properly. And what we tell people is if you're going to wear it on an amulet, when you go outside, just tuck it inside your shirt. You'll be fine. And there are several things you can do. Remember, this is a passive device, but we have active devices. Now, you have not heard about the active devices because the individuals that you've been dealing with, basically no one will sell them these devices because they simply are not the kind of people that we want to work with. We want people who are honest, straightforward, tell the truth, and help people and not take advantage of them. So we have devices called active scalar units called the Qi Organizer, and the smallest one we have, inside of it, it's like a locket, a little square locket. You can either wear it on a necklace, you can put it on your belt buckle, strap it to your wrist or on an armband, or just stick it in your pocket. But remember, check your pants before you put them in the laundry, because I just wiped one of mine out doing that. Inside this device is two holograms, and the holograms in this particular device are designed to wipe out electromagnetic stress effects on the human body. And we get that all day long because you're involved in a soup, no matter where you are, of EMF signals. Even the 60 hertz power wires in your wall cause tremendous issues in your neurological system if you're within 3 feet of them. So these holograms will actually stop the Qi stagnation within your meridians. And they've been proven, because what we did was is in the advanced training classes, they would take the entire class and test the entire class with it. And it works very well. Now, inside this device is a sweep generator and a scalar wave amplifier. Now, the amplifier will actually drive those codes into a local effect bubble of about 3 feet. And that allows you to wear this all day, and it keeps those field codes in your auric field all the time. Now, something I pioneered recently, nobody's been doing, is I'm able to put one more hologram in there. So you can actually buy one of the other programs, like Vitality. Let's say you wanted some endocrine codes or neurological codes, psychological codes, circulatory codes. You know, you name it. We've got 17,000 codes in the database. So we can put together code sets and make a hologram that we can add to that device, so you'll get not only the stress protection from EMF, but you can also get balanced in the other way actively. And this is 24 hours a day because it has a battery in it that lasts for 4 to 6 months before recharge. All you do is plug it into your computer and boom, you're charged overnight. And you got 3, 4, 5, 6 months worth of time to run that 24 hours a day. So it's very nice technology because it actively is driving those codes in all day long to keep you balanced. There's no sliding back out of balance with this because you're getting generated all the time. Now, that's one of the technologies that we've got. And there are 3 other devices above that that you can actually put in your home. And one of them has a local, 2 of them have a local effect bubble of 1,000 square feet. Now,
oh, wow.
These are devices that run between, what the heck are they? Between 5 and 700. And they have a local effect bubble of 1,000 square feet. So if you were to put a hologram card in one of these devices, it will dose everybody within 1,000 square feet. And so you can buy different hologram cards to dose people with different field code sets to help keep them in balance. We have an animal wellness program, which is very helpful for animals. I tested it on mine, and it did quite a job. The other programs that are available are the ones I've discussed, and we have others we can make custom. Now, those are the lower-priced units, and those are what the average home user might use. The highest-end one of those is about $700, but that unit does everything I've talked to you about so far. It'll take a hologram card, and it will also take a glassine envelope or target reference material, meaning somebody's picture or DNA, and you can actually target them anywhere on the planet and hit them with that device, just like if you had an SE5. The only difference is you don't have any analysis capability with it. So those are the different machines that are available to use whatever way you decide.
Oh, good. Jeff, do the smart meters have any effect on the codes?
The what?
The smart meters.
Oh. If you were to have a high electromagnetic field, yes. But the smart meters are not a high electromagnetic field. What they're doing is they're generating basically microwaves. And what they do is they're causing a lot of physiological damage to people. And what we recommend, first of all, let's dispel another lie that's out there. You're going to see around the world, and first of all, this technology was not invented by anybody that you've heard claim that in the United States. The hologram technologies with these code sets have been involved in Europe for many, 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 many years. So if somebody tells you that they invented this, they're full of crap. And I work with the manufacturer directly, and we talk to the people who do these things that have come up with all these neat code sets and these new technologies. But let's take a look a little bit further at this. All right, so if you've got EMF stressors out there and you've got all these other stressors, and the main one we all know today is cell phone towers because you have electromagnetic signals coming from them that are saturating your homes, the countryside, everything is taking a hit. Now, there's several components to this. Your cell phone and the cell phone towers put out low-frequency electromagnetic interference. They also put out pulsed microwave signals, which are very high in frequency. And pulsed microwaves are inducted into the brain. There is no way to block them other than doing a shielding for your brain or your cell phone. The holograms will not stop the pulsed microwave. It's like a jackhammer. And there's many manufacturers that will try and fool you into thinking they can. They don't. They can help with the low-frequency stuff, which is what ours do, but nobody so far has been able to conquer the pulsed microwave yet. Now, smart meters, one of the things that people find very beneficial is to wear the CHEO 24/7 to help block some of the effects of those smart meters because they really screw things up. They are noisy. They're very broadband. They may send out a really close pulse out to their home receiver, but they've got all kinds of noise on the on their signal set that causes other issues in the body. So it always helps to do anything you can to block that junk. Many people will use Orgonite. Orgonite has a beneficial effect on that, especially if you incorporate sacred geometry with it. If you incorporate things like the electronegativity scale when you design it. And let's dispel a real interesting rumor out there that, you know, shavings are effective. Shavings you can make an Orgonite device with, absolutely. But your square inches of surface area are so low, they don't even come close to what you can get with powdered metals. Powdered metals will increase your abilities by about 100,000-fold. So when you're going to make something with Orgonite, use powdered metal. Don't waste your time with shavings. That's like trying to build a diesel truck out of toothpicks.
Do the holograms work better if inserted into the Orgon?
Ah, well, now there's an interesting concept. Jerry Avalos, a very, very gifted guy, he works at the Hollow Tree. He used to work in Helidium Labs, and once he figured out what was going on with Thunder, he left immediately. He's got morals and integrity. So he left, and he contacted me, and I sold him an SE5. And we started talking about what it's going to take to put the technology out there. And I had been using Orgonite for quite some time. Jerry is a fabricator and a really good one. So he started fabricating Orgonite discs and sinking the holograms inside of it and causing them to actually broadcast or radiate their signal out several feet, similar to what our Chio does.
Right.
So that's a real nice technology to have. And so, yes, you can do that. But again, if you're using crystals, you might not even need your hologram because the crystals will hold the data. As we all know, crystals hold data like a rock, and your hologram is a crystalline metal substrate, which is why it holds it.
Any particular?
Yes, is the answer to your question.
Thank you.
Any particular type of crystal?
Just about any crystal, but all crystals have different properties.
That's why I was asking. Is there
quartz and black tourmaline, really neat stuff. We use that. We've used malachite. We've used a whole bunch of others. Peridot, many, many other crystal forms. He's just as tons of different ones.
If I went to a crystal shop and bought one for whatever, I could program it then?
Sure. You don't need much of it.
What I'm asking is there specific kinds that are better than others for different things, or generally one will do it?
Well, first of all, quartz does a great job for everything. So if you want to use quartz, that's pretty generic. It works well. But nobody has done testing on all the crystals that I know of. So let me be real frank about that.
Okay.
But I'll be honest with you. I doubt that there is any crystal you can't use.
Okay. I just couldn't resist asking that in the middle of everything.
No, good question. All right, so as you can see, there's a lot you can do with these, and you can build code sets of any kind for any use that you want. And you can deliver them to people, plants, animals. You can deliver it to your desk. You can deliver it to a rock. Some of the things that we're attempting to do now in water remediation, I've got several people that I have on tap that are contractors that have SE5s, and we are going to start working on polluted wells and water supplies to clean them up. Now, Jerry has been using the code sets to build some things to help with automobile emissions, and he's got a couple of labs or smog shops that do the testing for him. So he and I collaborate on that product, and basically he's building a hologram and he's already built it. We've got it in testing at several different places. That what it does is it takes the hydrocarbons coming out of your exhaust, and what we do is we code for them in the hologram, and instead of balancing them to 100%, we try to balance them to zero, which knocks down the particulates, which causes a lot less irritation to your engine, and a byproduct of that is a small increase in gas mileage as well. And okay. So we do this for diesel as well as gasoline. And that's what Jerry's big project is right now, and that's what he spends most of his time on. So as you can see, any particle that you wish to work on, any element or atom, they all have a field of information that surrounds them, and you can work on that field.
That's
we also,
good.
Let's say we've got in the database, let's say there's something that is not in the database you want to code for. We actually have a algorithm that if you type the name of the substance into the system, it will actually calculate an algorithm for you to use as a code set. And it's within about 90% accuracy. The reason why is all letters in all alphabets are archetypical symbols which carry information.
Right. Couple of questions for you. Obviously, these can be used to heal, but can they be used to harm as well? And how will people know they are getting healing as opposed to harming?
Well, it's just like anything else. If I've got a gun, a rock, a baseball bat, it ain't the gun, the rock, or the baseball bat. It's the idiot behind it.
Yeah.
So yes. You can use anything for anything. Now, the manufacturer, when I came aboard with him, told me that they have something in their circuit that prevents the SE5 from being used for negative purposes. Now,
okay.
I don't know what he did. I don't know to what extent that statement is true, but that's what he told me.
Right.
Now, there are other machines out there, though, that are radionic devices that don't have any limits, and there are many people who use those for purposes other than healing.
And remember,
when you're talking about healing, you've got two things you have to consider. Are you working on the physical body, or are you working on the information field that surrounds the cells? Using our device, you're working on the information field. You are not working on the cells. That's the reason the Food and Drug Administration doesn't bother us, because we're working on fields of information, not on the cells. And when you, one of the training classes that we have for advanced training, you can sign up for. Ludi Larson had gone over it, and she was talking about vitamins, where we can take and we can deliver the information field of a vitamin to you, or any substance, actually, for that matter. But there are times when you may need the vitamin, and you need your body to break it down metabolically, so that it can take those compounds and rebuild them into what it needs to rebuild itself. And there are other times you just need those information fields to be balanced for it to work on its own. And then there are yet other times when you need both of them to get it going again. So a lot of that depends on what your issue is. And you can use the device to determine whether you need one, the other, or both. And you can take any substance. Let's say you've got a homeopathic remedy, like a Heal Detox Kit, like Nux Vomica Home Accord. All right, so you put the bottle of that on the input plate, and you put a bottle of distilled water or salt water on the output plate. You can actually transfer the information field of Nux Vomica into that water, drink it, and get the energetic effect of that field information delivered directly to you. It was funny because when I'm a Heal practitioner, I use their products, and they had just recently kowtowed to the FDA and wiped out a whole bunch of their product line. And I called them up and I said, you know, this is ridiculous. You guys are dropping all the most effective things you have. I said, but let me ask you a question. Did you know that we can actually take any product you have, and we can copy that information field to another substance? And you should have heard the voice. The guy said, yeah, we know. They realized that with the SE5-1000 out there and practitioners around the world using it, it won't be long, and many of the things that people have been using will be supplanted by you buy one bottle of it, and then you just make copies.
Oh, cool.
But again, remember, you're copying the energetic field, not the actual substance.
Well, there's a neat trick to telling who's the bad guy.
Yeah.
If it looks like some kind of drug addict that needs a fix real bad and he's aiming the thing at you and trying to plug it in on the porch, you're probably in a bad way.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how strong your mind is.
Now, I understand all that, but what I'm saying is most people really know how the matrix works. Their condition and their situation in terms of their position in the cosmos, know how to manipulate the matrix to a point where none of these situations ever comes up. Some
people
don't carry guns because of that, et cetera. I understand unless I teach it. But what I'm saying is that, you know, people, all you got to do is, you know, if you got some kind of dude out there that's drooling real hard and giving you funny looks, you probably don't want to unlock the door.
Yeah, exactly. A little common sense help.
Jeff, a question. You were saying that you just do the copy. Does the copy degenerate over time? If you're doing copies of a copy of a copy of a copy, will that degenerate?
The information field is a code set. It's not something that loses strength.
Right, okay, it's a fixed set. Right, okay.
That's another thing, too. You just have to remember that there are times when you need to take the vitamin. There are other times you need the information field of the vitamin.
Yeah.
And so it all depends on what you need, what you give. There's a lot that you can do, though. So just remember, there is no substance in the world you can't transfer its information field somewhere with.
Okay.
Also, this is going to blow your mind. Every word you've ever spoken, every thought form you've ever had, has a field of information that surrounds it.
Hmm.
So we actually use thought forms, and we can deliver them subconsciously using the device. We help people with things like smoking addictions. And with that, that's a real tough one because it's, The number of drugs in cigarettes and tobacco is ridiculous. So with that, you typically need to do hypnosis sessions coupled with nutritional balancing, coupled with the affirmations that we put into the subconscious and some of the field codes to help with the addictions. You know, it's funny that there are people out there that have SE5s, and they have drug addictions, and yet they don't use it to get off the drugs.
Well, I got a question that's pertinent to everything.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you be willing to stay around a little longer, or are you going to be busy tonight?
It depends on how much time you need.
Whatever you feel like you can afford to give away.
All right, I'll stick around for a while longer. I doubt we've even touched half of your questions, but we'll do whatever we can to help you out.
Well, what I'm looking at, too, is you know, if you might be interested in doing a show specifically devoted to all this, much better prefaced and that sort of thing. If you'd like to, we can do that.
Sure, sure. I've done probably 6 shows already on how all this works and what the devices do, so I'd be more than happy to do that again.
Okay.
There's a lot to it, and a lot of people, as they listen to the show, they come up with more and more questions. So what a lot of people will do is they'll do call-ins, and we'll just answer the questions as they come.
Okay.
Would it be best, devoting a full show this Sunday, if possible, with Jerry and Kirk as well? So
Jerry and I have talked about this. Jerry and I have no problem working together on a show because he and I are what we consider friendly competitors. We help each other with each other's code sets. We use each other's codes. We just want to see this get put out there and move forward, because there's too many things that need to be done for there to be one guy out there doing this. It just doesn't make sense. So, yeah, Jerry and I would be happy to. Now, we need to coordinate with Jerry first, though.
Right, okay. Anything else, Drake?
No, I'm just kind of listening to everything.
What kind of things have you heard?
Let's put it this way. Everything I'm familiar with that I know about this stuff, you've covered generally. I see some of the nonspecifics, and I understand. The other parts of it is that we have not had a third person outside of myself who is actively involved specifically in this area, who is has the capability of breaking things down to a generalized, understandable way so that it sounds like English. And that, believe me, is it's a blessing, believe me.
Yes, thanks for that.
If you have any real tough questions or specific questions, feel free to ask them, and we'll address those as well, because you'll never run out of questions in this field. There's so much that you can do with this, it's ridiculous. You know, if we can affect physical matter, like, you know, hydrocarbons and NOx particles out of your exhaust, imagine what else we can do.
Yes. Oh, yes. Right.
Now, all I need to do is, let's say you've got an aquifer that's poisoned. All right, you give me a sample of that that's been tested at your local water lab, and you give me a report of your spectrographic analysis, we can tear that thing right apart.
Right, okay. Right, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to have a short break, and we'll be back with Jeff and Drake shortly. I'm just trying to find a song. Right, there's this. Back shortly. Bye for now. Hi, and welcome back to the second hour. That was a short break. We're trying to get as much as we can in tonight. Drake will be back, and I'm trying to relocate Jeff. Here he is.
Right here.
Okay, yes. Drake?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know where that might be. I kind of live in the woods. One of the things I did when I picked the area in which I'm living is to find a place that had the least amount of interference, be that noise, man's incursion on each other, or however you want to look at it. And I sort of accidentally got into an area in West Virginia that's pretty nice. It's on the edge of the quiet zone for the electronic observatory, which means that cell phones don't work up here, which means that I don't have a whole lot of that electronic nervous system bombardment or thought interference that a lot of people get. The interesting thing people should take note of is that were there enough or a sufficient number placed generally throughout this country of this particular application, I'm going to give everybody this shot in the whatever. Our fun and games with the weather very probably would have been able to be controlled by us. Now, that don't mean you have Florida in the wintertime up in the north, but you also ain't going to have some idiot leaving the freezer door open and trying to kill us all. So, yeah. You know, if people don't understand the power involved in what is being tapped into. They don't understand the capability of it actually being mostly all-pervasive, depending on the physical or ethereal sides of its application, the manner of its application, and the power which it taps into. Science has talked a lot about dark matter, dark energy. Cosmic or energies of the cosmos, the universal energies, are involved in this. The next step up from the simplistics that have been described tonight, quite simply, is a tapping into something of that level, meaning that a small town, a house, etc., can be powered in a similar energamata usage. Most people don't get those things, but, and I try not to be too scientific because I know that there are educational limits on that. I don't want to put everybody to sleep, but, you know, every once in a while, I have to chime in with a little something, and so there it be.
Yes.
There's a fellow named Tom Bearden that has a couple of good YouTube videos out that discusses a lot of that, what you're talking about. Radionics has been used for weather control for quite some time. We did experiments by doing cloud busting, which, you know what cloud busting is. They take
the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, and you can use these devices to do that. There's a lot you can do when it comes to weather modification using them. And the more people that have them, the more you can do. Just like if you were to clean up a toxic waste dump or a poisoned aquifer and you got a couple of dozen people together with a radionics device, you could clean that up in a very short period of time.
Yeah. Well, people don't realize what they are tapping into this. You've gotten into some of the generalized specifics of, you know, you can do this and this and this. Basically, this is how it works. The higher technologies I'm also familiar with. I don't know if I can I'll probably have a contact you form filled out here by the end of the show. But what I'd like to do is invite you back. And I'm not trying to cut you short or anything, but what I'd like to do is invite you back for a longer session that covers some of this stuff a little more generally, but goes into the technical aspects, if that's possible.
Sure.
Is that possible?
If you want to contact me, anybody who needs to contact me, I prefer not to use email. So you can give me a ring at 570-219-2025. And my website is www.jeftech.net, jefftech.net, and there's only one F in Jeff.
I'm not touching that one. No, no, no. I know where it is mine. Anyway. But I'm looking at maybe reorganizing this a little bit into more of a seminar type thing that we could offer. Now, we do keep archives so that, you know, and you'd have full access as far as I'm concerned. If you would like to present the information, you know, rather than sort of the haphazard manner in which we approached it tonight, we got put off, as you know, by thunder into a gaga land. And I didn't appreciate that a lot. I didn't appreciate his refusal to explain things at all.
You need specifics. You have to have them.
Well,
your audience out there are not a bunch of dummies. These are people.
I know this.
Yeah, and, you know, when your guests come on, they have to realize you give enough science that they can understand the underpinnings without putting too much out there, so you, like you said, put them to sleep. They want the science so they know how it works, but then they want to know the application. So you structure this any way you like, and we'll put it together the way it needs to be done.
Okay. Well, if possible, is there certain days of the week, certain times that are better for us to contact you?
Yeah, late morning is good. I usually have most of my calls out of the way by then.
Okay.
Usually just after lunchtime is good. But early evenings, I'm usually swamped again.
Okay. But I just wanted to be sure that, you know, there's going to be some people calling you. We've posted your website. And from what I hear, I don't have any qualms with being involved with you, put it that way.
The one thing I don't want people to do is to think that these technologies are just for certain people. They're not. They should be for everyone.
Yes.
I have spent the last 10 years developing deep tissue wound protocols that beat the Veterans Administration's healing rates by 400%, and yet they still won't use them. I've demonstrated them, I've shown them, and they won't do it. And as you and I both know, there are many of these technologies out there they don't want out there. And that's what your job is, and that's what my job is. Make it simple, make it easy for people to acquire.
A friend of mine and I are putting together a veterans healing retreat. And I don't know how soon that'll be available. I got to get with him here shortly and find out. But I'm on the board of directors. I've got
like a deep tissue wound protocol in about a minute and a half.
Well, this also addresses psychological, et cetera. I mean, the whole night we don't leave anything out. Put it that way.
Good.
And
logical.
The
yes.
idea is to see what we can do in terms of providing. As much as we can, limited transportation. I mean, it's going to take a certain amount of time to address these things, but there's a lot of people out there that are needlessly suffering, and there's two things that I want. First, absolute truth that gives an individual their freedom, if that's possible. Now, in some cases, they're not going to get all of the freedom that they would probably like, but I want to give them a good dose of it at the very least. Second thing is that I want absolute truth, irrespective as to its source, preferably something that is not just somebody's idea or theory, but something that is in application. And this is what one of the things you've provided, both of those, I feel, tonight. I have checked some things with Kirk and found that what I feel we've run across here is something that is generally able to be afforded by most, and we may be able to work something out in that. I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see how that goes and kind of play it from there. But I understand, Tom, we had a lot of a large load of questions from last week about some things.
Yes.
Not enough technology, but other things.
Yes.
Now, things that I don't know if Kirk told you what I do, but I'm the wedgie in the underwear of the government in general. I do not play games with them. I'll try to hold them responsible for their actions, irrespective as to whether it's direct actions or not. and the whole nine yards. What I want to do is set the country free. I work with several individuals that will be and are at present time working into the position of being in control of things so that we don't have the problems with oppression, general militarism, police state ideologies, and things of this nature. So this is I've been working on this for quite a long time, and we're just now getting over the hump.
That's a big mouthful, and there's a lot to do.
So what I was looking for is the technologies that would come from an honest individual that would support what we know the truth is and what it should have always been and could express that. And you filled that bill very well tonight.
There is technology you should be aware of out there. You've heard of LED lights, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, they originally came out of NASA, and basically they heal tissue up to 400% faster. And if you were to take, let's say somebody's got MRSA, where it ate the flesh off your leg, or, you know, you got a deep gouge or something. All right. In diabetics, we know that they don't heal very well. I'm a diabetic, and I had a 6-by-9-inch wound on my left leg that was MRSA, and it ate right down into the leg. And I went to the wound center at VA, and they said, you're diabetic, so it may not ever heal, but it'll probably take a year if it does. And 4 months later, the skin was totally closed. And the recipe was very simple. I took distilled water, and I flushed the wound. Then I took powdered amino acids, and you can buy them anywhere. And I sprinkled that all over the wound site. And the cells sucked that stuff up in almost immediately, and they started growing flesh back over it. Then I took an LED light and put it on for a good 20 minutes to a half hour several times a day. And in 4 months, it closed that wound tight, as you can imagine. So this is something that's cheap and expensive. Anybody can put it into their medicine cabinet. The LEDs I use, they're, what, $165, and they do tremendous work for neuropathy and wound healing. And I think everybody should have them because there's no excuse for not being able to help somebody with a diabetic wound get these things closed. Because if they don't get them fixed and closed, gangrene is next.
Well,
and there's many, many things you can do to solve those. Unfortunately, I learned some of them after I had my issues. But EDTA chelation and many other things out there are reasonable cost, and they can help people get well.
Okay. Interesting. Let's see here. Does what you do and what you're involved with deal with the freedom efforts or not?
I've been a part of that movement since way, 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 way back, 76.
Ah,
cool.
That's basically what I started with when I was in counterintelligence.
One of the originals.
I helped several Patriot Radio networks do some things, helped fund them. We did fundraisers with long distance and things like that. So I've been active in that area behind the scenes for a long time.
Okay, well, you might want to check our website. I don't know if you've been there or not or have a lot of time to do so. There's a lot of things posted on there with blurbs from me pointing things out. It's Cosmic Voice is obviously the name of this. We also have a Cosmic Voice Facebook page. Up to you whether somebody else gets into that and shows you or if you wanted to take a look at that. The website is AmericanNationalMilitia.com, and I point things out, put things together. There will be a happening here a few months later, another, and when you put the dots together, it really is beginning to point to some stuff, and this is basically what one of the ways in which I do this. The other thing is that I work with people like heads of state, finance ministers from all over the planet, in a conjunctive effort to solve the, quote, and this is a loose term, governmental problems, as they seem to be. Most understand it is only a few individuals that are responsible for most of our problems. So
that's correct.
they are being targeted. I work with.
You know, it's funny, but I see a lot of hope with Oklahoma. They seem to be getting their act together down there. They actually supposedly just recently passed a law that you can carry without having to actually sign up for a permit.
Well, that's, just, well, that's open carry, and that's what we got here in West Virginia.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so long as it doesn't matter what an individual's past is, as long as they're not a total nutcase and needs to be scraped off the ceiling on a regular basis, I don't see any reason why a person could not carry a gun, personally. I think
there isn't
a reason. Well, I think there should be some minor controls of that.
I think everybody should have some classes on how to handle one.
That's a given. If you don't have the safety class, which includes a shooting class, which includes being able to be qualified for a concealed carry, I don't feel that they're safe to be around because they're not sure which end it comes out of. That's just my,
Yep, that's how it works.
But anyway, this is the areas that I think we need to talk privately. Personally, about some of this, and see where we can go with it, if there are places that we can go.
Let's get together in the next few days when you got a little time, and we'll get on the phone and we'll chat a little bit and find out where our points of interest are. But it sounds like we're at parallel purposes. So,
that's what my assumption was.
All right, I think we're good.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Jeff, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon, and hopefully we can arrange another show.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Just give me a holler and we'll get it done.
We will do that.
All right, good night now.
Thanks very much, Jeff. Bye now. Right. Do you want a small music interlude, or do you want to go straight into your speech?
Well, I don't got a speech as such necessarily. I can give people intel that things are a lot closer than what they think. I can give you some inside information that I've seen in terms of the posts. And by the posts, I'm talking about AmericanNationalMilitia.com. And I would seriously suggest anybody get intel and anybody that cares the direction we're going in and the remedies for it, pay attention. Now, I posted recently on Facebook, on the Facebook page, on Cosmic Voice, that it was time. And I mean that very seriously to everybody out there who is in any kind of position of readiness at any level. It's time. We don't have very much longer, and they're going to try to spring a big fun and games on us. This does not mean at the end of the month on February 1st or this and that date or anything else that the sky is going to start to fall. What it means is that we are very close, and it's going to start as soon as I get the video from Mr. Keenan. Now, a lot of people don't understand, but I have posted things that are preparatory to the direction in which this is going to go. You have to read the last week's worth of posts, probably, to catch them all. Now, you'll see different governmental changes, adjustments, sidestepping, et cetera, and this is the indication that things are about to come unglued in terms of being able to have a realistically operational governmental system any place, not just here in the States, any place. The European Union has some serious problems. China has run across a few. Russia has had their fair amount. One of the things I see in the news is, it ain't safe to go to Russia for the Olympics. Horse hockey. people that are saying that are trying to discourage you so that they can create and cause a financial drain on Russia. That there are a bunch of heathens and it ain't safe to be there. Well, you want to see a heathen, go piss off one of them KGB agents, and, you're going to be in one of those Jason Bourne movies real quick. You would not believe how absolute these guys can be when needed.
Putin has put out the order. Go get anybody that's going to be a problem, could be a problem, or probably will be, or has any kind of leanings in that direction, drinks too much and throws the KGB through the walls. You collect all these turkeys. You got to throw a net over them, fine. Now, there's actually been gunfights, and a lot of them have not been reported, I can tell you that. I do have some people in Russia that do talk to me, and you would be amazed how tight that's getting over there. So, it's safe to go to the Olympics. Don't worry about it. It's probably one of the safer places on the planet, simply because they're not going to put up with anything from anybody. No playing games, period. And I have this on good authority from people inside the organizations of which I am speaking. Secondly, you have things going on here in the States that are not going to be what people think they are. The, quote, event is getting ready and getting ready to happen. However, you have to understand that it is a combinational event. It's like a combination lock. You got number, you got 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 numbers to get the combination right to open the safe. Well, you're going to find all of a sudden major things transpiring that will open the doors necessary for the next event. After these events take place, the resets everybody's looking for are available fully, without interference and without somebody blocking it or burying it in red tape gobbledygook of some sort. So the things that people are most concerned with right now that I'm seeing is twofold. First, the government is gone totally over the top. You don't have the people that supposedly are our spokespeople even mentioning the facts of the serious problems that have transpired over the past year. And now you got a president that's lost his mind and thinks that he can sign an executive order and tell everybody what to do. He's already been told not to do that. And I want to make that perfectly clear on this show. He's been told not to do that. So I would strongly suggest that the boy be very careful, because they will put his goodies in a vice and crank it up some. Secondly, people that everybody's been after, those who have done the untoward things on a legalistic basis that are totally unconstitutional, and I'm going to take this a step further, actually treasonous in terms of their intent and purpose, are all at the top of the list, each and every last one of the turkeys. Here's the other part. One of the main things I posted, and I've been harping about, corporate control, Trans-Pacific Partnership. Everybody's heard that. Well, there's a trade deal for Europe that's sort of like a transatlantic partnership, and I put some of that post out. Now, then following those two, I put together a thing about a ghetto. Now, this ghetto covers like 8 states, 10 states. I want you to think about this real close now, 8, 10 states. What it does is it targets poor people and their situation, just exactly like the ghettos in the big cities, only this one is huge. Makes them all dwarf in terms of size. And there's a reason for this. They want this land for themselves. The problem is they couldn't stomp out. Country boy can't survive. They can't stop us out, and they can't make us run. Well, what do you do? The only alternative is to starve them out. The regulatory problems that the lumber industry has had were intentional directly for that purpose, to put as many out of business as possible. Same thing with the all of a sudden edict that, ooh, coal is nasty. Well, it can be if not handled correctly. I agree. However, it's been being used for a long time. Some adjustments in the way it's used would take care of the dirty problem. It's also extraordinarily abundant. We have more coal reserves in this country than all of the oil reserves in the world. Think about that. This is an energy equivalent type of availability. But there was an edict. Coal's nasty. I'm going to tell the EPA to go after you. Now, I hate to bust a bubble, but telling the EPA, when the executive branch of the government tells the EPA to go after somebody, they have overstepped their bounds and committed a treasonous act. It's the same thing with Obamacare. It's the same thing with these other idiotic proposals. Well, I'm going to do what I want.
And yet you notice that the limitation on the raising of the minimum wage was due to only federal contracts, and he does have that legal right to do so. However, much of the rest of everything have been treasonous acts as perpetrated by many individuals, not just the chief executive officer, Obama. However, if somebody has a pair and they let decide to actually put together the evidence correctly, and you've got to be real careful about this, you have to be able to contact the provost marshal and serve two legal papers. Number one is an indictment of an individual for treasonous acts, for the procurement of that individual to be within our justice system. In other words, to avoid the flight possibility, you also charge that person specifically with treasonous acts, and you execute a warrant for detainment. This means you put the turkey behind bars. Anybody out there, constitutional lawyers, somebody that's just crazy brave, I don't care. We need somebody to do this. Now, I'm involved with things that take all of my time outside of that particular position. However, those things are beginning to get to a point where I may be able to have the time to take such actions if need be. Now, I would love to see another individual start shouldering some of this weight that I've been carrying to be informed about intelligence that you can't let out. You say it. If I were to say some things right now on air, I wouldn't last very long. I can tell you that right now. Either I'd be absconded with and disappear, or I would be just simply executed, one of the two. That's how simple it is. This is how critical this information I hold is. I cannot out it. Now, to go beyond that, it would also give other people the same kind of problems, and I won't do that to somebody else. I'm not going to abandon my buddy in the foxhole during a battle. I just ain't doing that, period. I don't care what happens. Irrespective, we are at a critical point, and that critical point has been reached. We have a little bit of time, but not a terrible long one. If anybody out there really feels that they might be able to handle this, and you're going to have to do it correctly, it has to be according to certain specific legal parameters and procedures. You have to do this correctly. If done correctly and the action is taken, you have my absolute and full support. I will bring about to bear things that people don't know that I have access to. This is my guarantee on that. So, Tom, I understand we got a shitload of questions.
Yes, we do. First of all, I'd like back over the Thunder stuff. I'd like to say a big thanks to Michelle Forrest. She was very helpful in outing some of this info alongside our own private investigations behind the scenes, as Drake mentioned earlier. And she will be working with Jerry to arrange another show with Jeff where we can get a lot more of this information out. We used perhaps too much of the show up last week on this, and obviously it's been cut into tonight, but we felt we had to correct some of the issues before it went any further, and we move on hopeful without snake oil salesman in tow. So on that note, we're going to go on to some questions. Right, Drake, if the US corporation crumbles, must a lawful government exist when that happens, or have provisions been set in place for the UN to come in and take over our country?
If I see the UN, it's free fire zone, and everybody needs to understand that that is exactly what you need to look at it as. that would be the most serious miscarriage of justice known to man. Number two, they think they have the right to play games with sovereign nations. You remember the Small Arms Treaty? Get the picture? They think they can play with us. Well, come and get it, one bullet at a time, one shot at a time. I'm locked and loaded. I don't care. I'm not in a position to quibble. My rights ain't for sale for at any price, and I'll be damned if I'm going to allow somebody to come in and do what they feel they want to with me. I ain't going to roll over on the floor and let them stick it in me. That ain't happening. So
no.
That takes care of the UN. As far as a governmental agency, okay, two things you have to know. First of all, a corporation, and this includes all of them, cannot be a public institution. The reason it cannot is that it is a privately oriented and structured system of self-governance. This means that the corporate laws in the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Atlantic Trade Deal supersede all of our rights. This is how important this is. They want to take them all away. This goes to that great white ghetto of corporate rule. This goes to an old article from 2012 that I put out again today from David Wilcox's site dealing with the resistance, the fight against corporate rule. The people with the money are the ones that buy the politicians. They're the ones that control who gets money allocated by our government. Therefore, you have a pretty much oligarchical rule. The only thing they don't have is an out front, out in the open, king or queen ruler. So the situation is this. There has been, for many years, several groups of people put into place by the individuals who know what's going on to take temporary positions that are critical to the continuation of our constitutional republic. What this means is that at a certain point, people will be open to freely elect, discard, and put someone else into the office. We are not going to play a game of what-ifs with any of this. A lot of the parameters and controls that would preclude communists and socialists from gaining the office will be used fully. And by fully, I mean these people are going to be vetted, outed publicly, everything about them, all their laundry, all their dirty laundry. I don't mean the rumor and rigmarole that's played in elections. That's different. This is something that is specifically designed to inform the people when somebody very, very well may not be, no matter how nice and pretty they look on the outside, be of a rotten core that will do nasty things when they gain office. And this is basically where it's at right now. All these things are situated. So we're ready to go, pretty much. Okay?
Drake, can you shed light on the TPP and if anything is being done to stop it?
There's a lot of things. A lot of people are voicing concerns. A lot of corporations don't want to give their rights up in order to be a participant. Some of the countries are hemming and hawing and saying, I don't think so. It's not in good shape. Now, I posted something about the transatlantic partnership, the trade deal with the European Union, that stipulated that they're really at a standstill simply because the litigation that would be involved would be so awesome, it'd be 50 years before they could figure out which end was up. Now, I'm hoping the same thing happens to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It looks like it may be. And we'll have to kind of wait to an extent on that, but I'm pretty sure that it's not going to go. I'm pretty sure that the Atlantic Agreement will not be supported by the European Union simply because it's not in their best interests at all. What we're looking for with these agreements is the capability of corporations to write their own ticket. Almost totally unlimited. There's only a very few limitations, and they're not against the corporations, believe me. It's against the people. You don't have the right to sue. You can't go after somebody who sells you a toaster that kills people or whatever. You don't have any workers' rights. I mean, if you know, there are unions objecting and governments objecting and freedom people all over the place that are not going to allow that, I don't think. Next.
Craig, your comments on the reports of China to purchase the Federal Reserve and also the JP Morgan shutdown and gold transfer.
What about it? It's all there. I don't think China's going to buy the IRS. I don't think that anybody is going to try to purchase the Federal Reserve. It'll be restructured, but it won't be what it was as we're familiar with it. None of these quote trade ideologies has anything to do with anything other than having full control and making all the money for the guys that already got all the money anyway. That's exactly what it is. You think minimum wage is low at what we got now? What happens if they just did away with it and you had to work for free until you learned the job? You think about these things. You want slave labor. You want to really find out what slavery, and if you don't produce, they just shoot you. I mean, throw you in the trash bin for dead people and keep on walking. This is basically what you're up against. You think 1984 is a real bummer? You have no idea. Imagine that on a mass scale. Imagine that everywhere. This is the ideology. This is what they want to do. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'll go out to gunfight before I'll do it. I'll put up with that. It's just that simple. And I think everybody that cares about anybody should feel the same way. I mean, if you've got somebody that's dependent on you, such as an aged person or young people, think about it. Think about them having to put up with the 1984 ideology, the tortures, we'll feed you if you act right. It goes on and on. So, next.
Do you not think, Drake, that the terminology China to purchase, and it shouldn't and not say China to foreclose on the Federal Reserve, that runs in alignment with what Neil's doing?
Yeah, I understand. Basically, what we have in mind, what is going on is that, no, they're not going to foreclose. Think about it as an investor or somebody with money. Would you want to partake of that problem, that mess? I wouldn't.
No.
I don't know if anybody with any kind of good sense has got anything, of their own that would want to. I mean, that's like paying for two or three neighbors' cars when you don't make enough to pay for your own. I don't think so. As far as the Chinese being interested, yes, they're interested. And yes, I work with them. That's something everybody don't know. Next.
Drake, can you introduce to new people how they can prepare and please provide some important implications about the economic reset circumstances and propensities involved?
It's pretty simple. You need to have at least a couple of weeks of what it takes to survive. I would suggest adding a gun to that. Now, in other words, you're going to have food, water, place to live, some means to make sure that you have extra food, canned goods and non-perishables, dried foods, that sort of thing on hand, water to fix them with. I'd put some cash, even though right now the Federal Reserve note is zero. It's still accepted and probably will be, but may not. We don't know yet as to how far the restructuring will have to be taken. If it's taken to that level, then you should have a little junk silver, which is the older 1964 and before silver coinage of the United States has a certain specific percentage of silver in it. You can take that down to the grocery. If you can afford gold, by all means, get the smaller denominations. Tenth of an ounce, that sort of thing. So, right now, what is it, 1,400 or something? 1,200, whatever.
1,270.
$120. That's pretty hefty. That's fairly heavy bags of groceries. They'd probably owe you some change. You put your tenth of an ounce of gold out there, they weigh it up, figure out how much it is, and pay you back in terms of your change in the, quote, junk silver or silver, old silver coinage that has specific silver content. It's not difficult to understand how this true monetary system works. Now, gold and silver are the only acceptable constitutional means of expression in terms of finance on a geez, can't remember that word. In terms of currency, I'm sorry. That's legal tender, period. So the FRN ain't legal. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, it's convenient, lighter than gold. You don't have to carry 10 pounds of the stuff around. You know, you can put that in a little packet of paper. Well, that's cool, as long as that little packet of paper is worth something. Stocks and bonds ain't a good place to be, and there's no reason for the stock market to go up other than the oligarchs are playing with you. They get to, they make it start going up, and you buy in a little bit higher price than what it was before. What are you going to do if it drops 300-400 points? You lose it all. Real simple, especially if you borrowed the money to get in it. So you got to understand that there's a whole lot of games being played, and they're the cat and you're the mouse. So it's not to your advantage to play their games. Consequently, if you're situated in such a manner that you're outside the system in terms of being able to withstand these problems if they are to come up, I mean, what are you going to do if they don't deliver groceries to the local grocery store? What happens if fuel is having a problem being delivered? What happens if you need a group of people? Well, contact the militias. Contact the, you know, develop a community group. There's thousands of ways to get around all these things. I've tried to establish people that know me here, and so far I've been reasonably acceptable. The thing about it is that I got away from population centers because I know that I can't trust a whole bunch of hungry people, and I don't know that I could shoot them all if they tried to come in the front door. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, several hundred people. What do you do? So I got away from population center. I was able to, and I took the advantage and did it. Those who are in populated areas need to have some kind of an out, and this is the boogie bag. This is the we can load the truck in 10 minutes. We can be out of here in 15. We got sleeping bags, tents, whatever it takes, and we got a place to go. That's basically what you're looking at if you're going to take off. Most people don't have the capability. You've got a large number of people out there who have trouble putting food on the table on a daily basis because they're having to work for cash. This is where the great number of unemployed, people keep playing with the numbers, but it's only been increasing. It's at least 20%, and you'll hear 17-18%. Well, I think they're on the low side. People are beginning to pick up on the fact that putting people out of their houses is not a good deal, period. So foreclosures are being attended to in terms of some states are actually outlawing them. That's great. Now, the oligarchs decide whether or not there are jobs, not the government. Government don't have much to do with it. The government is pretty much told by the oligarchs what to do. So, you know, where are we at? We're at a point where some of the rich people, and I don't mean anything more or less than 50%, say, are honest. They actually went out and earned it. They come up with a new product and got wealthy over selling it. These people are under attack. Now, the people that are the serious, real oligarchs, they're not the ones that pay the taxes. They don't have to. They get lawyers that say no. And, you know, there it is. And that's basically a pretty good synopsis. If you want to get ready and you don't want to spend everything all at once, buy the two-for-so-much deals that are cheaper, less expensive than the individual item at the store. You eventually will start stockpiling things. It ain't going to be easy. Take my word for it. I've done some here, and I'm still prepping, or whatever you might want to call it. Now, we're not supposed to go through bad times, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there won't be somebody out there that can cause problems with, like, food and fuel delivery, or that might not come around with a group of banditos and want to take everything you've got. You know, you have to understand that that is a good possibility, not probable. My understanding of it is that this is supposed to be a peaceful, orderly transition. And that's going to be a big difference from what everybody's used to. When people think of a change such as a governmental change, they think of Beirut, Lebanon, and everything blowing up and bullets going everywhere, you know, or some kind of nasty extreme civil war battle of some sort. And this is not necessarily going to be the case. Now, there is going to be some firefights. I guarantee you there's some. It ain't going to turn that power loose peaceably. And they'll be taken out eventually. You know, if they got to run a battle tank up there and start remodeling a skyscraper, I'm sure that will be the end result. But anyway, there it is. Okay?
Yes. Right. A couple of questions covering the same thing. We've covered this many times before, but perhaps with us having so many new members. It's to do with the Russian, alleged Russian and Chinese troops being both in Chicago and deployed in Mexico. Are they an issue for the U.S. population?
No. The... Some of those troops are special forces dedicated to their orders, which are to help us in the times of our trials that are coming up. When we set it free, they're supposed to be our assistants. Now, what would be targeted, and this is something you need to look for, is the UN helmet, the UN colors, the UN insignia. I don't know of anybody that I feel I could trust that's directly affiliated with the United Nations. Anybody that wants to know about the United Nations, go on their website and look up the agendas, the Agenda 21, et cetera. There are several there. Most of this stipulates a population reduction of some two-thirds of what we have now by any means that they see fit to use. So I don't have any use for the UN. Next.
No. Drake, is there a currency reset coming soon, or is that horse hockey? And will the event happen this year or 3 to 5 years from now?
Well,
which event.
It depends on when these things come about. As I said, there's several things that have to transpire, major events. You can say event, whatever you want to call it. You're going to have resets in terms of financial structuring all over the planet. Now, the unaligned nations, some 180 of them, give or take, have basically gotten their stuff together, figured out the manner in which a totally open banking system should operate so that it's, you know, clear. You look in the window and see somebody doing the paperwork or whatever. This is to be the world of finance after resetting things. Now, first you reset the governmental controls, you reinitiate sovereignty, then you take it to the people. We are doing this. We are rescinding the oppression and control factors that this particular government put in place. And as soon as those things are rescinded, then it goes to the people. And I'll recommend that they will probably have open voting 24/7 for some time. There are a number of issues that everybody needs to take up. Slavery, obviously, is something that we are fighting against. Everybody thought that we won when they outlawed slavery. Everybody thought we won when we won the Revolutionary War. And everybody thought that we, you know, everything was cool. Well, they said, okay, we'll let you win the battle, but the war is ours. I don't care who makes the laws, as long as I control the money, it doesn't matter. Bingo. They own us, pretty much. Now, some of that structure is getting ready to be taken down, I can tell you that much, and that's as far as I can go with that. But it's going to hit the fan. Next.
Las Vegas' oldest casino has started accepting the world's newest currency, the Bitcoin. Is Bitcoin going to be part of the revaluation?
Not exactly. It's a standalone currency that can be run around online, and that's the advantage of it. You don't have to carry it around with you, yet you can access it in terms of whatever your account might hold. And it's sort of like it's a combination of currency that may or may not exist physically, that has intrinsic certain intrinsic values. There's been some problems. Somebody decided to try to launder some money, and it didn't work too well. People got caught. The Bitcoin itself has fluctuated quite a bit in value in different directions, depending on what was going on with it. So it's there. It's not illegal to have. So, you know, do what you think is best.
Right, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to have a couple of songs, and we'll be back with the final hour in about 7 minutes. Bye for now.
Hi all and welcome all back to the final hour. Two songs there, The Rose, was going out specially to Chloe and also to Cosmic Voices' new admin. And I'm pleased you all welcomed her very well. A special thanks to Sue Brand. Are we ready, Drake?
Of course.
Good. Right, here we go. Where are we? Drake, do you know of anyone refusing to pay taxes successfully recently?
Yes, a whole bunch of them. Depends on how you go about it and what you do, manner in which you act when you submit your paperwork, and making sure the paperwork is what you need to submit, following the procedure and protocols of the legal system. I know quite a few who have totally removed themselves from the system, so to speak. I'm not going to go into that any further.
Drake, what is the polar vortex? Where did it come from, and what caused it, in your opinion?
Well, it's very simple. It's called a slip clutch. Slip clutches are common when you got a belt on a pulley. The engine's running, but they don't operate nothing. Pull a lever, and the slip pulley slips around that thing, kind of tightens on that wheel, and off and down the road you go. Lawnmowers and whatnot use that commonly. The engagement of a power takeoff on a lot of your lawnmowers to engage the blades is exactly that. So, when you have a bucket of water and you spin it, eventually the water will start climbing the walls and create what would look like a whirlpool. When you stop the bucket, it continues to move. Same thing's true of a solid object known as the planet Earth and its atmosphere. The atmosphere has a lot of fluid dynamics, but it also moves according to the movement of the planet. We spin it some 8,000 miles per hour. So the two things that go into this is the movement of the northern pole, magnetic pole, southward, and the fact that the wobble created between the North Pole not being exactly where the center rotation of the planet is creates wobblies or wobbles in the atmospheric movement. This is where you get a lot of your jet stream up and downs, other than weather control now. This is just natural stuff I'm talking about. And every once in a while, it gets to moving, and it's like a freight train. It ain't easy to stop it, so it continues south and visits places like Florida where they don't need snow, but they get it anyway. And that's basically what you're dealing with. Next.
All right. Where are we? What information can you relate to us regarding the mysterious end days trumpet sounds that people are hearing all over the world? Rather few of these questions, so thought I'd better ask one eventually.
Oh, boy. Anybody that's ever been in an old house or on an old boat notices that it creaks and groans. Right now, you're dealing with forces that are not commonly known. Most people find those things in the Bible and other places. This does not negate their reality. The sounds are real. They've been recorded, different types of them. Parameters of this means that there are stresses and things are beginning to move. Okay, the problem is that everybody's going to say, well, that means this. And the problem with that is that they don't know squat about what this is. Between a combination of about a dozen different things that are going on, you're going to continue to hear these things. And when it suddenly goes quiet, and I mean quiet, I mean there's not a sound of any kind, no critters, no barking dogs, no nothing. When the wind no longer moves, that's the calm before the storm and the straightening out of things as a lot of people are familiar with them. This does not necessarily mean the end of the earth.
This does not necessarily mean biblical level problems for mankind. What it does mean is that you have cycles, and most people should know about these. The every group that has a record has records of these cycles. The Incas and Aztecs were became prominent in that area, but the Indians, the Druids, the our forefathers back in time knew of these things. And these sounds, and this is really neat, they were at a lesser level, but still there. The report of the cannon that people hear off the southeast coast of the United States, the great creaks and groans that England experiences at times, and it actually, at times, the forces are so great in their releasement that they'll make the ground shudder. I mean, all of the biblical characteristics of... are there. This does not, however, mean that that book is absolutely correct in what's going to happen. You have to understand that in the times that these people existed who provided the information, you'll also need to note that the forces involved were not known. You had to be a witch or some kind of nasty thingamabob in order to understand these things and use them. The contrast is between the knowledge of these natural forces that are occurring, that are making the sounds and all this, are not necessarily anything more than what you would find in a contrast, such as the witch hunts of old. If somebody understood these forces and used them, they were considered a witch or some kind of demon or under the devil's control, and they did all kind of nasty things to them. We've come a little bit further than that, I hope, and as these things unfold, and this is something everybody needs to know, as these things unfold, you will be informed. Each and every last person on this planet will be informed as to what they are and what their significance is. Until the times that these things start unfolding fully, everybody is going to just be able to guess. Next.
If a disastrous false flag event occurs during the Super Bowl, will the military finally act in a decisive manner against the cabal?
If such an event were to take place, yes, but I'll tell you right now that I don't think so. Next.
Right. Drake, as I understand, the technology which has existed since the 70s but forbidden and hidden from the general population can drill tunnels at the rate of 1 mile per hour, and supersonic trains are currently used to run through these tunnels, making it possible to go from the US to Russia in a couple of hours. Is this true?
From what I've been able to discern, yes. I've had some reports from some friends who check on things of this nature, and they confirmed it with video, excuse me, and reports from certain people who were involved in the technologies being used. They've graduated away from that to what is called jump rooms. In other words, you come to a door, you open the door, you go in a room, close the door. You walk across that room, open the other door, and you're wherever it is you were going. At almost any distance. You close the door behind you, and you're at your meeting from San Francisco to New York in a matter of seconds. Same thing's true planetarily. You can go from here to Russia or wherever, China, in a matter of seconds. This technology has been, it was developed in the early 40s on reverse engineering and has been prevalent since the 50s. I mean, a lot of people think it's things started in the 70s. No, that's when people started putting it out and publishing it so people would know. Some of these technologies go back to some of our ancient history. So you have to understand that a lot of this stuff's been around. Simple reason, they don't want you to know because they don't want you to have the capability. What would it do for somebody who developed a jump room technology and started putting one on every corner? I mean... You know, what would that do to things? What does it do when people realize that they have the same capabilities as the saints in terms of signs, miracles, wonders, healings, and all that? Where then does that leave the church? You see what I'm saying? This is, I know, a little insidious. It does not go well with biblical teachings and knowledge. But if you look in the Bible and only look at the principle, these things were talked about by Jesus Christ and others. So you have to understand, it's real, it's there. They just don't want you to have it because they want a job. They want to be able to run that collection plate or whatever their ulterior motive might be. Okay?
Yes. Knowing that the CIA is just a front for the U.S. Army, how can we expect help from the military-industrial complex? I think there's a bit of a mix-up there.
Yeah. First of all, the CIA is a standalone agency, and by standalone, I mean that literally. They come up with funding through front organizations that they've been running and other things. There are a lot of front corporations that are not just fronts. They're also an operational business. So you have a lot of funds going around. The military is not per se attached to or a part of the CIA. They use the information that's garnered by them and by the FBI. The military develops its own intelligence agencies, one for each branch of the service, to include the Marines, Army, Air Force, Navy. I mean, you have to understand, the CIA is not the, supreme agency, so to speak. Go from there.
What is the reality of the fake snow we've seen in Georgia? Any insight on that?
Of course. If you haven't heard about weather wars and weather control, I suggest you look into it. You can do just about anything you want with the atmosphere and atmospheric conditions. You can also entice these polar vortex, nice warm weather that we've had lately, right down into the heartland and wherever they want to put it. So, yeah, I would say this was orchestrated. I agree with the artificial snow, but you have to understand it's not necessarily exactly artificial. It may have been artificially conditioned to produce. So, yeah, it would appear that the snow is artificial. I'd say it's real snow. I'd say it's artificially produced. Next.
But you can't burn it, Drake. People have tried to melt in it. You can't burn it. It won't melt.
What do you mean? You can melt it. It's regular snow.
No, it's not. This latest stuff in Georgia, people have tried.
You're talking about the calcifications. That's different. It would take the form of a snowflake, but it's not snow. I agree, and I understand. Let's put it this way. If you create enough of a fog of certain chemical elements and then charge them with certain things, you create things such as that type of snow. In other words, using a combination of scalar technology, focused heating of the atmosphere, you can focus that at the top side of a cloud so that it causes melting of chemtrail residue and create that very easily. It's not difficult to do. They also have created artificial rain. I've been bombarded with statically charged rain that'll knock you down just about. So, yeah, I mean, and they've been experimenting with this stuff since this actually came into being prominently or being used in the 60s. So how many, what do you got, 50-some years there? I'm sure they've made advances. hopefully they don't learn how to make bricks in the air. You think having a few little chunks of ice fall out of the sky is bad. Think about a concrete block.
Drake, is the 72-hour plan still available? Will we get the 72-hour notice, or has that been changed?
It was not a 72-hour notice. It is a 72-hour period of time. We'll get about a 24-hour notice. They'll take They'll take 2 days to make sure that they can do a double sweep to make sure they got everything that they need. And then they'll inform people such as myself. I'll put out the lights accordingly. You may get one before the other. You never know how that's exactly going to come out. But, yes, the plan is still in effect. Okay?
Good. Any update on Neil Keenan and also on Nalu?
Nalu should be getting out shortly, and Neil has been traveling a lot, and he's got a bad case of jet lag. So I told him to quit lagging and start leading and show me something and talk to me, and he ain't exactly got his stuff together well enough to do that yet, although I can hear from him in any minute. Next.
Right. What's this? Drake, your comments on what is happening with HSBC and other issues with the Deutsche Bank and Lloyds and a few others having a lot of banking issues.
Yeah, they should. You've got several financial institutions that are not in good shape, and yet they're carrying on like there's no problems. You've got extreme movement of assets. You've got withering cash supplies and all kinds of happy stuff going on all over the planet. Everybody's been talking about how the United States is going to go broke in 2 weeks. Well, that's all well and good, and I'm glad everybody thinks so, but I'll tell you right now, no. There's plenty of cash. Now, the assets backing that cash are questionable. So, is the cash worth anything? Not at this point. Why? Well, the Federal Reserve lost its charter. When it did, the IRS also lost its charter. When those two lost their independent charters, they reverted back into the Treasury. So, the Treasury now is in charge of that. So, this is, you know, you have to look at these things in terms of being able to understand the structure and the manner in which the things go on. As far as having plenty of cash, yeah. Well, the oligarchs got, you know, truckloads of it. If need be, they'll, you know, shoot a truck over to X Bank and make sure they got funds on hand to make sure they can operate if they decide to keep that bank. So, you know, a lot of ifs in that, but there it is.
Yes. Drake, if someone does not believe what you are telling them about getting out of the stock market and taking their money out of the banks, will they get the money that they lost? Will that be replaced with the good money on the reset?
Well, that's a pretty good question. That goes also to people who have been foreclosed on and people who have been had the IRS up there or whatever and lost everything accordingly. There is no guarantee, and there is a good probability that nobody will get repaid. This is why I say if you've got assets that are valuable to you, take them out of the paper markets. This is currencies, this is stocks, and this is bonds, and convert them into precious metals. And there's a reason I'm saying that. These precious metals are the only, and I must say this very, very succinctly, very carefully, only currency accepted worldwide everywhere. It might have USA on it, but if it's a silver dollar, they know it's worth a certain amount, irrespective as to what else is going on. This is why I'm saying if you want to protect yourself, you have to realize, real simple, what reason on God's green earth does the stock market have for going up? There ain't no jobs. The job situation is getting worse. They couldn't create more than 72,000 the last time around. The Fed is withdrawing its support because it's running out of cash. You tell me what the situation is. It don't look nice. It looks dire. It looks nasty. Well, they're not going to be in a position to keep this facade, this fakery up for very much longer. You'll have plenty of cash floating around, but what's it worth? I mean, they were burning it in Germany at one point, or someplace over there. I can't remember the specific
yes.
of it.
Yeah, Germany and, Germany went from 4 marks to the pound, which is the UK currency, to 20,000.
Yeah.
And it was
so,
just worthless.
You got to pay $100,000 for a loaf of bread. Think about that. That could happen yeah. here.
Yes.
So, no, I'm suggesting you be prepared. If you take a little and be prepared, then you can figure a way to operate, because you're not going to get a paycheck. They're going to hand you a little bag of gold or silver, depending on what your pay scale is. It's going to be a different kind of a deal. And that only made I'm looking at it lasting, as I've been told, and everything I've gotten so far, for a period of about 2 weeks at most. Now, it could be a little longer. It could be less. It should be somewhere around 2 weeks. I would suggest you lay up as much as you can in preparation for such an event, because, very simply, who can trust somebody that holds the money? What have they been doing to you, raising your taxes? I mean, have you ever seen taxes go down? No. They cut the rate in which they increased, but they didn't reduce them. Taxes stayed the same. Ooh, yeah, so eventually you end up paying some kind of nasty amount. So, you know, and that's just the government. Then you got the usury of interest. You've got, you know, this and that. I mean, there's a million silly ways. I put out an article on 401ks where they're converting 401ks into government bonds. Well, everybody knows municipals or munis have been worthless. Most cities are at the point of bankruptcy. Well, that means that their bonds are worth squat, but they're going to convert your savings, your retirement money into bonds? Give me a break. Get that stuff out of there, convert it into gold and silver, in your hand, not certificates or paper for it, in your hand, gold and silver. Put it in an ammo can or a coffee can or something and bury it in the yard. You will be better off, believe me, because when this thing goes, everything stops. And all of the falsies are going to fall out from under the clothes, and right there you're going to have the emperor standing with nothing on. So, you know, if you want to be standing out there naked, you go right ahead. In this kind of weather, I wouldn't recommend that.
So do you not think if someone has $100 left in any bank when the takeover happens, that they will not be placed with 100 Treasury dollars instead of Federal Reserve notes?
I would say no, but if you have this stuff out of the bank, now the banks are going to be cleaned out. You've got to remember this. And supposedly this is going to be a one-to-one exchange. However, until this stuff actually happens, I believe it when I see it. So I keep my cash under the mattress or in a coffee can in the backyard. I mean, it depends on what I feel like doing with it. But I converted enough to silver and gold so that I'm in a situation where I know I can survive without too much trouble. I recommend the same for everybody. I know it sounds like a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory prepper horse hockey, and it ain't. If you want to listen, that's fine. If you don't care about what your situation is going to be, where you can't eat, and I'm dead serious about this, because if you ain't got nothing to buy something with, what do? Especially if the food pantries ain't going to talk to you. I mean, that's a tight place to be. Next.
Right. Drake, identity theft is a big problem. Lots of people suffer this. Because of this, what will happen in the future to stop it? And what will happen to those who have lost theirs?
You're going to have some restoration. The manner in which identity is protected is due to change here in the near future. You'll find this out when the higher or advanced technologies start being implemented correctly. This goes to something called a soul or spiritual code of each individual. Just as each snowflake is different, so is each individual. You heard on the show earlier about codes that identify certain things and conditions, etc. Same thing's true of an individual. If you are coded in that manner, then only your code will do, and it verifies itself. So it's pretty tight in terms of preventing that. However, it's going to be a little while before we get to that point. Next.
and we're not going to be chipped.
No, no, no. The value of you in terms of what you are on a spiritual basis will be the code used in order to identify you, and it self-identifies. In other words, if you have a, quote, credit card, and you take it in, it will automatically verify that it's you. It will automatically verify that the person that's handing it in or handing it to be used is you, and it can't be anybody else. It's that simple. Okay.
Some of the technology Jeff spoke about could play into that, couldn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a similar thing, only it does not deal as much with the physical as it does with the ethereal. Now the ethereal is the your thought process is not truly mechanical. Your dream state is well beyond anything that's physical. You could take that a step further. You get into what's known as the psychic areas, and when you take that one to its culmination, you get into the full spiritual areas. The soul code is your identifier or your codex of existence. It identifies you absolutely and completely. Whenever it is accessed, and you're a living being, it's sort of like, the little tinglies that your significant other causes when he or she plays with the hairs on your neck kind of thing. This is a verification that can only be done past the physical, and yet it could be physically evidenced in using some of the advanced technologies. That's the basis of a portion of it. Most of the rest of it does not translate into any known language on the planet, so I'm not going to try that one. Next.
I think this is probably more of a question for Jeff, but I think you're well capable of answering it. How far away from the body does a healthy aura extend, and can you also touch on the auric colors?
Auric colors are going to be included in my second book, for one thing. Number two, the aura can be as tight as an inch or two, and this is in an individual that does not have a lot of energy. In other words, their eyes are full of daze and they're about ready to go. Your aura can extend up to 3 or 4 feet, maybe 10 or 12. It varies according to the individual. You have experienced people who have a sphere of influence. In other words, some people you just can't handle being around, everybody leaves. Well, some people you want to be around and they draw a crowd. This is a portion of the auric effect. The specific aura colors deal with the place where we are at and our condition. Wounds have a tendency to show up as bright red or yellows or oranges. Healthy material tends to show up as a, neon greenish color, similar to what all the plants and whatnot show. And the parts that are asleep, blue. That'll give you a basis. Most all this is online. Look up colors of aura, and put that in the search engine. You get all the response you need. Keep you busy for a long time studying. None of these actually go into the overlap of color. In other words, turquoise is only vaguely mentioned, yet it's very important. The idea of chakras, which are energy portals within your being, leave out the kundalini, which is, they say, well, you got 7 chakras, and here's number 8 sitting down there waiting on you to do something with it. You got to know what you're doing. I'm going to explain all this. My second book's in writing now. So some of the things that you need to know are considered basic education that you should have before you get into these areas if you desire to know the details of functionality. As far as functionality goes, treating somebody with color, which was mentioned tonight and is mentioned on the websites that are out, vibrational frequency, vortex technology and the ethereal resultants that sister this come out each as a harmony of its own. And each of those harmonies, when placed in close proximity, you get resonance. And resonance, if you look at an electronics book or online, can cause the average to become super normal. So there's a lot to these sciences and a lot more that I'm not going to go into at this point. Next.
Oh, I was just going to ask you another question that rolled into that. What is your take on hemisync, binaural beats, and hollow sync?
You want to get into synchronization? I suggest you look it up, then go into the ethereal synchronization and find out what it is to align the balance of your chakras to a point where you can actually access the ethereal and look at it yourself up close and personal. Next.
Right.
Well, they asked.
Yes, they did. And I know who asked that question. Sorry. Right, there we go. Drake, you have mentioned the 1902 Dick Act several times before, but I'm assuming you're aware it no longer holds legal standing and has been superseded by other laws since then.
I got to say horse hockey to that, because it was never repealed and it did not have an ending. Sorry, Charlie, it don't fit. Dick Act's in full swing. You want to have an Abrams M1 Abrams battle tank in your front yard fully operational? You're allowed to. And I don't. And there's a whole bunch of people out there that don't want people to know that. A lot of people will say what you just said. You'll find reference to the fact that, oh, it's been superseded by this or that or something else. Well, you can't supersede something unless you negate it. The only way to negate something of this nature is to repeal it. It's never been touched. It has not been. It cannot be amended. So you need to look and find out where your information is coming from. I'll give you 10 to 1 odds the bad guys put that information out. Now, I'm going to take this a step further. The Supreme Court case states that you have the right to keep and bear arms. Okay? Under the keep and bear arms portion of that, you have the right to any operational weapon that the military holds. They won't like you having rocket launchers in your front yard or battle tanks sitting around. I agree. You may end up with nothing more than causing a big fight. That's your decision. I don't have a need of an Abrams tank. They don't get good gas mileage. They're clunky and they're noisy, and they probably sink in the mud out here. However, if I were to decide to have one, they can't stop it. There is no, and I'm going to say this clearly, no provision of any regulatory nature even that can supersede the law of the land. This is where your constitutional argumentation comes in. The Second Amendment has been upheld. The individual right to bear arms, keep and bear arms, has been upheld. This means that open carry is the law of the land. You want to bring a fully automatic AK-47 and walk around town with it? You are supposedly, according to law, allowed to do so. The police probably will take exception to you being out there doing that. They seem to like playing their games. Problem is that the police don't have any more right than a rent-a-cop to do so. Oh, and they're going to love that one. Sorry, dudes, but if you work for any incorporated entity, you are a private security person, not a public law enforcer. And everybody needs to really, really understand that. There's a whole bunch of things that have been played with. You've been lied to. So, you know, you go back and look at the Dick Act, and the Dick Act stands on its own, period. It is a reinforcement of the Second Amendment, because the military didn't like the idea that people might have a machine gun, or that they might have a fully automatic rifle. Assault rifle ban, kiss my Watusi. You don't have the power to amend the Constitution, therefore you don't have the right to make such laws. That makes the law unconstitutional. Anybody says different? Fine. Let's take it to court. Let's show that they have the right, because you don't. Not under the Commerce Clause or any of them other excuses that they use. Next.
Remember the discussion about the Washito group a few weeks back? There's a question arising from that. Is
okay.
Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Malachi Z, I don't know what I said, Z, I should say, Muhammad Ali and Rodney King, were they all Washito? If you can say.
And I understand they were a part of the bloodline. Whether they exercised their rights under that, I don't know. Now, what everybody has to understand is two things. You have to go to the age of original documentation, stipulating conditions. I would suggest that the originals go back a lot further than any of the other groups. Now, that being said, this does not mean that there are not records, and they're going to have to get them out. You got to prove it in this case. That certain Negroid family bloodlines hold ownership. This is back 20,000 B.C., 30,000 B.C., and it ain't going to be easy to come up with them records. I know that they exist. I got a pretty good idea where they are. I quit looking for all these things, all these exceptions to every rule on the planet quite a long time ago when I decided that freedom would probably take care of that. I don't see the importance of worrying about ownership so much. I am more concerned with the husbandry, and you look that up biblically, and you'll find out what that means, that we have been so sorely lacking in terms of taking care of our planet and ourselves. There are a lot of people out there that put fun things like fluoride in stuff, and poisonous in other ways that people are not even aware of, because it takes your lifetime before you realize you got poison. when you start understanding the husbandry, and that word, the connotations of that word are written in stone in Egypt, so it's a lot older than the Bible. You go back even further, and the cuneiform laws by the Sumerians stipulate it. They copied that from an ancient source. Now, how ancient, okay? I know about where they got the information and a few other things, as do people who know about these things. This is another form of problem in terms of suppression of knowledge. And I don't, like I say, I refuse to worry about the, quote, direct, supposed, assumed, bloodline or whatever ownership someone may stipulate. I worry less about that than I do about the husbandry or the responsibility that we have, not only to each other, but to the planet, all the critters here, etc. That's the concern I have. We keep raping Mother Earth, and pretty soon we won't have no place to live. And you think about that. We got problems with water out west right now, and a few other places. We're beginning to have problems with food accordingly. Think about it. Food, water. Think about that. I mean, you can build a bonfire in front of a cave and live in a hole, like live in a hole in the ground, but you can't do without food and water, period. So these are the critical portions of corporate rule that have replaced the oil they pumped out with the water we should be drinking is beginning to cause problems. Hello. Next.
Right. Drake, what do you know and what can you tell about the free energy generator coming from the Hope Girl team, which is to be unveiled at the end of tomorrow? As they call it, a QEG, quantum energy generator for the people, crowdfunded by the people. Are you familiar with any similar teams that you know of or are associated with to bring related technology? I might add, in case you're unaware, Hope Girl is part of our old friends OPPT.
Well,
before
that says
you
a lot, right? That says, well, the last part of that says a whole lot about the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I don't trust anything dealing with that. And then you can take it a step further. You heard from a man tonight that is working on generation systems or generative systems. I've got another outlet that is supposedly going to be coming online heavy here shortly. As soon as they do, I will be putting their information out. Now, they offer generative systems all the way up to small towns. If an energy generation system uses conductance in lieu of forced propagation in terms of producing electricity and or other forces, it can be fully successful. It can run on no fuel because it can be self-propagating in terms of its production of energy. Everybody needs to understand that. It's not difficult. If it's a conductive, in other words, something pulls on the electrons, as an example for electricity, rather than pushing it or forcing it to be dislodged, then you start pulling in energies from places that are not subject to being controlled by being inside of a wire, as an example. You begin to get into being able to send large amounts of energy through the air, such as what Tesla had in mind, among other things. So, yeah, they're getting into it, and, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'd like to see what they got. But I don't expect any miracles. Next.
Do you think the May 16th march on D.C., do you think we will get the 30 million people needed to get the job done?
I certainly hope so. I intend to go. I'm going to try to get everybody that I can find that, who ain't tied to their mother-in-law real hard to go with us. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it flood that place. I'd like to see the masses put up such a pressure point that they don't have any choice but to relinquish control back to the people. That would be lovely. Whether we'll get that far or not, I'm going to try to hurry it up. but I still plan to go just because. Next.
Drake, is it possible that we can trust any past or present military commanders? Are they anything but cabal?
Most of them are. You'll find that a lot of these people are clean. By clean, I do not mean that they didn't know about things, but they didn't participate unless forced or didn't have any other choice for whatever reason. And there are several of those that I feel that could be trusted in a lot of ways. A lot of people will say, well, he was part of this administration, or they were right there during that operation. Yeah, but what did they do? This is the question. This is the personal information that I have been privileged to find out about people such as Vallely and others that, and I don't care who says no, actually fits with the parameters of setting the place free. I feel that I can trust them, put it that way. Next.
Something bothering me about this whole dinar revaluation business. How exactly is this different from being a money changer?
It ain't. what you've got is a standing currency that is widespread enough that they cannot recall it all, and they don't want to hurt too many people in the process of changing it, so therefore they will leave it standing. What they will do is change its valuation rate. That's the percentage of it to dollars or so much for this and all that. I heard a couple dollars or so per each on the dinar. So, you know, and when that is going to become publicly available is questionable. The oligarchs are going in there getting theirs now. So that'll explain something to you about the monetary systems. They're not exactly what they appear to be. Next.
Is there any news media from anywhere around the world covering Neil Keenan's court case daily, or is there a full gag order on the news media?
No. He has not really done the extraordinary things that would bring it into mainstream media. We're getting ready to do that. In other words, we're going to start it and see what happens, who falls over and, you know, who treads water, who runs for cover and all that. If you cause something to just cease to exist for whatever reason, and there's a lot of people involved in it, and they all go running for the hills or standing around in a big crowd in front of the place going, what happened? It's going to make the mainstream media. What we're getting ready to do should, I'd say to raise it at least two notches, maybe three. Next.
You say the positive military is ready to go, so what is their problem? What are they waiting for? And by the way, who is in control of the other two missing nukes? I think that's in relation to the South Carolina issue.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to answer about the nukes. I've been requested to leave it alone, so I will.
That's okay.
As far as good and bad military, the good military is waiting on Neil Keenan and I to culminate some things. We work very closely together and exchange information and whatnot. I put some things out only after the okay from part of the K team. I wanted to be sure that I wasn't going to step on any toes by releasing information that might be of intrinsic value to what the man's doing. I know where it's going and what it's going to do, and I just can't hardly wait. I'm just so excited I can't stand myself. Nick?
Right. There's been some sort of an outburst by Senator Lindsey Graham, who has stated the world is about to blow up. Your take on this, Drake?
I hope he don't pop a blood vessel in the process. I found something interesting from a certain senator that everybody is kind of iffy about. I posted it today, and or had it posted today. The there was a gag order issued against John McCain, and John McCain. He's enough of a man to turn right around and fire back. That's what was posted today. He's wanting to get a petition going to repeal Obamacare. You might take a look at that. It's been posted on the website. It's been sent through the blog. If you're not signed up, there's a little box on the right side when you go to the website. And you put your email address in there and you get notifications. I would suggest that John's heart's in the right place. And he's been screwed with enough that he's finally got to the point where he's going to take some action of his own. And I applaud the man. So there's all kind of things starting to happen. I'm just waiting for the, you know, eventually, if you got dirty water and you run it through a tea kettle, the little whizzer that makes that funny, that cute little whistling noise, it clogs up. Now, one of two things happen. Either the top comes off of the turkey or... if it's clogged up too, you get a kabooby. And when that thing goes kaboom, I want to stand there and be able to watch and see where the pieces go. And this is one of the reasons I'm still involved in this. The other one is that we ain't quite done yet. So I'm waiting. Next.
This is probably going to be the final question. And something you'd be familiar with, Drake. Don't you think someone ought to take down the Georgia Guidestones? The state of Georgia ought to be ashamed of having those Guidestones standing in their state. Your comments, please, Drake.
My comment last time was that a little HE applied correctly would solve that problem. For those who do not know what HE is, that's high explosives. I would suggest that somebody go down there and drop off about three or four cases of dynamite in the right spot, light the fuse, and run like hell. Blow that sucker flat. Make sure there ain't a piece big enough for anybody using a slingshot. That's my opinion of the Georgia Guidestones. That's absolutely what they intend to do to us. They want to rule us by dropping big rocks on us. Well, if we ain't got no big rocks, I want to see what they're going to do next. I would like to see what kind of results we get if we did such, if somebody, and I don't care what kind of squirrel does it, actually took that action. I think it would be excellent. It would be a nice show of the disapproval of we the people for the BS that has been they've been trying to shove down our throats and up other places where it says exit only. So, you know, maybe we need to put something up there, and that would be a good thing. We could launch the Georgia Guidestones in the right direction. See if you can put the explosives in the right place so that their intended arc would put them somewhere in the general direction of D.C. That's where they need to go back to, in my opinion. And that's my opinion on that. Next.
Yes. Mine too. Right, that's about it, Drake. If you want to say your piece and finish up, and then we'll end the show.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest everybody go to the website, start looking at the stuff that's being posted. This is not haphazard. Some of it ain't exactly right up front, new news, but when you start connecting the dots, putting the pieces together, you start finding a general trend that these people are not going to be able to handle. Not a few hundred of them are going to take on several hundred million. That ain't going to happen. Now, way too many people are armed. Women are tired of being put upon, so they're getting armed. And carrier permits have gone through the roof. You think buying weapons and ammunition is high? You ought to see the numbers of carry permits. You ought to see the numbers of people carrying openly in states that allow so. People need to realize that they can regain their freedoms and keep them once we have them, once we reset things to the way they should be. That's all you got to remember. And one little final thing is, get her done.
Right. Thanks for that, Drake. And thanks to our special guest, Jeff Harvey. And hopefully we'll have another show with him and Jerry fairly soon. Final song goes out to all the people suffering up north. Sorry. Bye for now.
Looked around for all my possibilities. I was so hard to please. But look around, leaves are brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Here's a Salvation Army band down by the riverside. It's gonna be a fair ride, and what you've got planned, carry your cup in your hand. So look around, leaves are brown, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Hang on to your hopes, my friend. It's easy thing to say, but when your hopes should pass away, you can simply pretend that you can build them again. So look around, grass is high, the fields are ripe. It's the springtime of my life. Season change with the scenery. Weaving time in tapestries. Won't you stop and remember me at any convenient time? Funny how the memory says when you look over manuscripts of unpublished rhyme. Drinking my vodka and lime. But look around, these are brown now.